The Bible didn't just drop from heaven. There were people who had to argue whether or not certain books got to be in the Bible. Whether they were in the Old Testament or the New Testament, there was a period in which you debated whether a book got into the Bible. And there were many books that never did get into the Bible, as you well know. Now, if you ever read any of those books that didn't get into the Bible, some of them are absolutely fantastic. They've got the most wild and wonderful stories. And there are lots of supplementary Bibles that most of us don't know about. They call them apocryphal books. And so you have the Apocrypha for the Old Testament, and you have the Apocrypha for New Testament. All kinds of wild stories about, like, when Jesus was playing as a little boy and making mud pies, he'd throw them up in the air and they'd disappear and turn into birds. All kinds of magic tricks that he did when he was a little boy. So what we felt that was important is that we have something like a council and we decide if there are any books over the period of the summer, any stories, anything that should be included in the Bible, we would add those to the Bible and make it the... that's not serious. That's a very serious matter, this. I realize that we have to ask for inspiration to be able to do this right. And so you ask for inspiration, and when somebody proposes a reading or a text that's to be added to the Bible, we all have to, as it were, vote on that, to decide. Now, maybe by the end of the evening we'll decide which of these are the best inspired books. The whole question was whether the book was inspired, so we have to ask whether the story or the joke or whatever it is was inspired. The other thing we should know is that lots of the parts of the Bible are humorous. However, when they're read in church, they are not, don't sound very humorous at all. But many parts of the Bible do have humor, and that's one of the weaknesses, is that the Bible hasn't had as much humor as Holden would like to have it. So it's the Bible according to High Holden, the rival Bible. The rival Bible from Holden. So the council is now in session, and His Majesty has just appeared to lead us in the divine test of those things which are indeed given by God and others that are given by devils. So if you get turned down, you know you're from the other side. All right, well, we were just filling in until you got here. Now, what we felt is that we might simply, in order to avoid any debate as to who goes first, right, that we would start from the beginning of the books of the Bible and start with Genesis. Now, every once in a while, there will be people who rewrite Genesis. So the first of our requests, and by the way, everybody is to participate in this. Bill and I may have a couple of things, but most of it is to be from the gifts of the Spirit in the body. Doesn't matter whether you're an ear or a leg or a nose or an ear hole or a toe, you have a right to speak. Now, the first one that I have is in fact from Genesis. I don't know, somebody handed it to me today and they said they didn't want to read it. So
do we vote on these then?
We have to decide whether or not they are inspired by God or the devil. Right.
Somebody has to have ex cathedra powers.
Extra what?
Ex cathedra powers to decide. Something that's ultimate authority.
Rather than a vote of the council.
I
should think of that just for a tie. Right?
Well, if there's any kind of doubt, we may go into the theology of the question, the theology of the text, right? I don't know that this kind of favoritism and this kind of bribery is not on.
We encourage bribery.
We don't publicly encourage bribery.
Publicly.
You know that all bribery has to be under the table. Not ex cathedra, but sub
cathedra.
It's important to have sub cathedra bribery. Now, what am I offered for the first one? Right, we won't auction any of these yet.
That's inspiration.
Well, a sub cathedra, yes. Now, this one is a very simple one, and that's not particularly... I will just read it anyway. This was given to me Just came from flying through the air and landed from one of the ladies in the village. And God said, let the skies bring forth insects and many-legged creatures according to their kind, flies and cockroaches and bugs and spiders that spin and slugs that slime and mosquitoes that bite and holden people that fly and creatures that buzz and burt and hum. And God made the bugs according to their kinds, and the termites, and the mosquitoes, and the flies, and the gnats, and the spiders, and the creatures that run, the caterpillars that catter, and the dragonflies that fly, and many creatures according to their kind. And he said, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and worry people, and destroy them, and have power over them. And it was so. That's the first one. Now, we may...
There's no omission. Deer flies.
Huh?
Oh,
ah, no. Oh, any other omissions?
We need an editorial.
We have an editor.
An editorial update.
Snow fleas.
Snow fleas and snow flies. Any other additions to the to this particular text to make it acceptable?
Banana slugs.
Banana slugs. Banana slugs. Uh-huh. Banana slugs, he means. Any other? Well, I think it's a useful text to have. Those in favor of including this text doesn't get many votes.
Nobody.
What are we supposed to do?
Sorry.
Raise our hand or say aye?
You want to
say
aye?
No, raise your... No, I think
yeah, we have to have a... Well, raise your left hand, right?
That's a bit of a dabble.
Thumbs up or thumbs down. All right. So there, all right, those in favor, thumbs up. Those against... I think it carries. Oh, we got slugs in the Bible now. Okay. All right, now.
And deer flies and banana whatever.
Banana flies. All right, now we'd like to go. Any others who have additions to the book of Genesis of any kind? Anybody who's got any stories about Rachel getting messed up with Leah or any of those other texts? There are lots of interesting stories in Genesis. Any additions to Genesis? What do I bid for another? No more additions to Genesis.
You mean to tell me there's nothing here from Noah's wife?
Yes.
Is this from Genesis?
Yeah. Oh,
would
hallelujah.
Please present it.
All right. No.
No, come on,
speak,
present it quick.
Speak
prayer.
Forth.
Speak to the council.
Address us, address the council. Yeah, you're not dressed very well, but when you come before the divine council, you're supposed to...
Well, these are stoles. They've got their stoles.
But you have to kiss the feet of the cathedral first. Come on. All right.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Loud. You won't get a decent vote.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth looked bum. And God said, let there be a black and decker rechargeable spotlight. And God saw the light and said, gnarly. And the evening and the morning were the first of mass more. And God created the beaches and the swimming pools. And God called the dry land Palm Springs Beach and scattered the pools above Beverly Hills. And it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God created skin cancer, a chunk of blue cheese, and a Milky Way. And it was so. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let there be fish fillets, caviar, and sushi. Also, he created unhappy BMW owners who were targeted by the birds. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God created steaks and McDonald's, and it was so. And God created Garrison Keillor to entertain the rest of us, and it was good. And God saw everything he created, and it was radically awesome. Chapter 2. And on the seventh day, God kicked back with six packs of Barley Pops beer in his universe-sized pool watching the Super Bowl on his Sony Watchman.
Any thumbs down? Unanimous acceptance.
Unanimous vote.
You'll need to have an interpreter what some of these things are.
Because
when they read that in 2,000 years from now, they won't know what some of those things are. Who is this character who's going to make us all happy?
But Norm, it'll keep you employed for
Keep us employed.
One of the problems, you know, now that we've got, we already have two new portions accepted into Genesis.
Yeah.
We're going to have to find a committee to translate this into Greek.
And then back into Hebrew.
Back for the Septuagint, and then into Hebrew right. for the original.
Yes, right.
We have to get back to the original.
What's Volkswagen in Hebrew, do you know?
What about Sony Walkman?
Yes. All right, thank you very much, gentlemen. I think you did a superb job. Thank you. Let's collect them.
We may collect some of these and put them together.
At the end of the summer, the Bible will now have been created. All right, now we've got Genesis. Any more
in Genesis?
Offerings for the book of Genesis. Huh? Genesis? No. Exodus. There's some good stories about frogs and plagues. Has anybody got anything on the plagues? Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
My God, you're running through them quickly.
Any more for Moses? All right, Moses doesn't seem to have any high priority.
One here for Moses.
Moses, all right. Yes, there's one for Moses. Very good. Like when Moses was in his motorcycle.
Boring railroad creek on the way to Dumbbell Mountain to meet God. Got caught in the line at the snack bar, then meet God at another time.
All right. All those in favor? Those against? Well, again,
oh, you're in it.
But the snack bar is in. That's going to be easy enough to translate it back into. Snack bar will be the manor house, right?
My question, one of the other questions we would have with this one, however, is, unlike the others, which were rather easily set, you know, in the beginning of Genesis, where does this follow in the story? I mean, is this part of in the wilderness, or is this just before
it's
Mount
right,
Sinai?
It's right after Moses was on his motorcycle and went up Mount Sinai on his triumph.
You see, but I have a problem with that, because I think that's J, not E.
Well, his triumph was a modern motorcycle.
But this sounds more like E, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's probably E. E for E.
Yeah.
Those of you who don't know the sign.
You've got to get in the right document.
Right, you've got to get in the right document. Anyway. All right, any other contributions to the book of Exodus? Moses, all right, having moved from that.
How about the leprosy laws in Leviticus?
Not being allowed to eat rabbits and things like that. No?
Nothing
on that.
No dietary laws on the golden? That's really odd.
Yeah. There should be some diet. All of these are suggestions, you see, for people for the future.
Is this a dietary law?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, Leviticus. We're into Leviticus now.
It's a current definition of gluttony.
Uh-huh.
A glutton is one who raids the icebox for a cure for spiritual malnutrition.
Oh, heavy.
Definitely priestly.
Yeah, very. Yeah, might even be pre-priestly. Very heavy. Any more of those heavy ones from up there? You want to drop like diamonds amongst that swine.
Definition for envy.
Envy, okay. Let's have it.
Envy is a consuming desire to have everyone else as unsuccessful as you are.
Envy. Any more of those heavies?
Lust?
Yeah.
That's
Leviticus.
That's Leviticus.
We're still in Leviticus.
Don't change the name to Lust of Leviticus. Okay.
Lust of the rest of us. Lust is the craving for salt of a man who is dying of thirst.
Oh, even more heavy. All right, we've had enough heavy, I think. All those in favor of the heavy ones?
Yes.
Those against? Oh, it's down as well. Oh,
lost.
This is lost. Okay. I think we're getting the mood of the group. All right, now, is any others that fit into the category of Leviticus or Numbers? Now, the book of Numbers is one of those things where everybody wanders around in the wilderness to keep counting each other.
Where's Larry? We just had volcanoes and we've had earthquakes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's all there.
You know, the earth swallowing.
Right, and all these quails that everybody gets sick on. Anything more? Manna falling from heaven? Nothing? Okay.
No wilderness wine.
All right, Deuteronomy. The Deuteronomy is full of sermons. There's got to be somebody who's got a sermon up their sleeve. All right. Spirit, anybody want to move somebody to preach? Well, not too long. A sermon. Anybody got a sermon for Leviticus, for Deuteronomy? No? No sermon. Okay, then we'll move on to the next part. We've got all those historical books, Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, etc., etc., etc. Anything in that there? Solomon. Joshua. All right, yes,
good. I'm not sure what this. I have a book of laws in an Old Testament.
Oh, that goes back in Leviticus. Oh, very good. Okay, all right.
Back to Leviticus.
Back to Leviticus again. Deuteronomy. The book of laws. Please hear ye, the man speaketh.
The book of Murphy.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Definitely Deuteronomy.
Uh-huh.
First one is for Chris Beckmeyer. In any random group of 10 staff cancellations, at least 8 will be at the last minute, and of that 8, at least 7 will be irreplaceable.
Uh-huh.
Statistically, the greatest chances for bad weather at Fulton are Friday afternoons and Sunday mornings.
Uh-huh. This is true, I think.
The chances of the hydro generator going down during dish team are in direct proportion to the complexity of the meal and the number of settings.
Yes, they're related to problems.
In any normal cold in summer, mountain wildflowers and black flies will peak at the same time.
True.
I only have 4 verses.
Those were the... Well, first we should vote on whether we accept them or not, and then we're going to have to decide which book they
are. Yeah, that's a good question. All right, who is in favor of this particular group? Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Those against, thumbs down. Oh, I think you're
this
in.
This is accepted. Now, do we put it in Deuteronomy or Proverbs?
All for Deuteronomy. All for Deuteronomy.
I'm convinced this is New Testament stuff.
Uh-oh. Oh, my God. Lutheran heretic.
The council is being divided.
Division in the house.
This sounds like Mike up on the mountain preaching as he does by the chalets. It's a Sermon on the Mount type of thing.
Sermon on the Mount. Uh-huh. All right,
I didn't
so
hear any blessed hours, though.
No, it was just Murphy is. I think it, no. We have to decide. Does it go in Deuteronomy, Proverbs, or the Sermon on the Mount?
So we got Matthew in here now.
Yeah, poor old. Yeah,
and then the question is, it's on the mount, not on the plain.
It'll be Matthew on the mount, not on the plain. Those are holding, right?
Okay.
Not Luke on the plain. Okay. All right. All those in favor of Deuteronomy. Those in favor of Proverbs. Those in favor of Sermon on the Mount.
All right. Proverbs has it. There's an addition to
quite an addition. It's very clear the New Testament doesn't have the strength in this group at this point. At this point, it hasn't quite gotten that far. All right. Any others that the people don't know whether they fit, but might fit in the...
We're still in the Torah now.
On the first 5 books of Moses. Any more that might fit under Moses? Huh? We'll decide, of course. We are all omniscient. We'll decide.
Did anybody find the last will and testament of Miriam?
No. After she had the leprosy and all that, she wrote a lot of stuff.
We've been looking for that for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is Old or New Testament, not having the thing to the seminary or anything like that, but how about this business of... when the preacher is coming to visit you, you should clean up your language.
Oh,
that's Deuteronomy.
You got some language you want cleaned up? What language are you talking about? that fits in Deuteronomy, you know. Cursed are they who do so and so.
That's Deuteronomy, yeah.
That's definitely Deuteronomy, yes.
It seemed to come from every mother I've ever heard.
Yeah, right. Okay, cursed are those who dare to not clean up their language when the preacher comes, right? Yeah.
Are you going to give us some of this language so we vote on whether we need to clean up our language?
I see. All right, I think we'll have to ask you to go back and actually give us the written text of this. At this point, it's just an oral tradition that needs to be recorded in writing. Recorded, we've got the facts, right? Okay. All right. Anything else that people might want to add to the possibility of the first part of...
We'll move on to Joshua.
Yeah, let's move on. Joshua and any of the historical books.
Any good Rahab and the spy story.
Uh-huh.
Walls falling down.
Yeah. Samuel, David, and Bathsheba stories.
Okay, so we're moving into the whole
historical gamut. Otherwise,
it appears to me that not too many people have really been doing their digging and come up with the rival texts. It appears as though the
Or else they're sort of shy, you know. They're afraid
it's so heretical they can't put it before.
Nothing
is fairly accepting counsel.
Yeah, we have nothing is too heretical. Gnostic stuff up there. Any other proposals from the historical parts of the history of Israel that people would like to add? Huh? Yes? No? All right.
Poetic books.
Now let's go into the books of poetry. Since we've got, I think I heard a rumor that we've got an addition, to the Psalms. Anybody got any additions to the Psalms, you know?
There is one that was discovered.
I heard that. Yeah. Okay, let's hear it.
It's a result of the latest research, and it turns out that Psalm 23 has a rival in the Bible, and it's a psalm that is not a psalm of David.
Uh-huh.
It's a psalm, actually. It indicates now that Psalm 23 originated in two rival versions on Noah's Ark.
Aha! Uh-huh.
The version that we have traditionally makes it sound as though it were written by one of the sheep.
Uh-huh. The Lord is my sheep.
The rival version claims authorship by a pig.
I see. it's one of those Sky Wardens that he
was
talking about.
That's right. This is Larry Collins, with a nod towards Larry Collins.
Right.
Not only that, but unlike most of the Psalms, we actually have found a fragment of the musical notation that goes with this psalm.
Uh-huh.
And it is thrice repeated chorus.
Is it singable?
Yes.
So it's singable.
And it comes in at the Selah. Right at the Selah.
Right. What sort of instruments did they have then?
Well,
piano?
But at any rate, the chorus goes like this. It's God's my swineherd, I'll not want.
I see.
There's more yet.
I'm not sure I want to hear it.
He's the one restores my grunt. With a here and a there, here and a there, everywhere. God's my swineherd.
A polka.
Thank you
very much.
Well, I think this one needs to be given to a subcommittee.
I mean, we've got to have those who are pro-pig and those who are pro-sheep. All right.
There's a real split in the council.
Yes, we don't want to put something to the vote that's going to split up.
Huh? It needs to be looked at from the bottom up.
From the bottom up. Yes. Yeah, pigs are at the
That's
bottom.
Right at the bottom.
Okay, we will appoint a subcommittee. All those who are in favor of being on the pig committee.
You mean you're taking volunteers?
No, we had better appoint them so that we get people that are on our side. All
right. We need a subtrophia.
All right, we will appoint a committee after we've had a meeting sub rosa.
Good, right? Good,
okay.
Good.
All right, now.
Any other psalm fragments? That
any other psalms? Psalms, hymns, or hymn songs? Or there she is. Any other songs? I mean, there must be some songs that way people want to put into this. Songs that they've sung from childhood. Mary had a little lamb, whatever it is. That goes on the lamb side, not the pig side. Any songs? I mean, the musicians here. There must be some song you want to add to the Psalms.
These people think that the council is being, you know, run by the people who simply preside.
We're not running anything.
We just accept fragments as they come in.
Any more? There must be some musicians who've got something they want to add, sing.
Some
song. I think the Spirit has not been revealing much.
Gotta move. No more songs. How many? Is there any more songs? Anybody got any? Well,
move on to Proverbs.
Proverbs. Any Proverbs? People want to ask. We had one Proverbs already. We want another Proverbs.
They want it. Oh, they got it.
No, we got the Proverbs.
There was the other one.
Any more Proverbs for the book of Proverbs? Yes? No, I mean.
No Proverbs.
No Proverbs. All right, what about Song of Songs?
I don't know what about it.
You got anything in it?
Oh, I do, yeah.
I don't know. Song of Songs is one of those books that I think a lot of people don't even know what's in there.
Well, the rival version is from chapter 4.
You got a rival version from chapter 4?
Let's hear the original first.
I'd like to read some parts of the original. I just don't think people appreciate what the Song of Songs is. You got a rival version from chapter 4.
You want some figs, coconuts, and
There are a lot of wonderful
clusters, probably.
A lot of wonderful things in the Song of Songs. You have to understand that the Song of Songs is about lovers, huh? About lovers. And I'd like to read just a couple of these, just so that you get a real appreciation of what's going on. Now, I'm not going to change the text at all. It'll just be the intonation. And you ought to appreciate something of the humor that's actually in the Bible. Now, not none of you know about this chapter. This is the actual Bible, so that you understand it. And then I'll read a little bit that he says there's an alternative version for. In chapter 5, you've got the story about this woman who has a lover coming, and she's just, she just waits a little too long. Shh. Very delicate. I slept, but my heart was awake. Hark, my beloved is knocking. Open to me, my sister, my love. My dove, my perfect one, for my head is wet with dew, my locks with the drips of the night. I had put off my gown. How could I put it on? I had bathed my feet. How could I soil them? My beloved put his hand to the latch. My heart thrilled within me. I rose to open to my beloved. My hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with liquid myrrh upon the handles of the bolt. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had gone. My soul failed within me, and I waited too long. I sought him but found him not, and called him but he gave no answer. Then the watchman of the town found me. She goes to the gate door and now I'll give you one more. This is the one which is an alternative version. That's the real one. Now this is the alternative version, chapter 4.
Okay, you read the real part.
The real part.
First
part?
Yeah.
Behold my beloved.
Yeah, it goes to chapter 2, verse 6.
First chapter.
Yeah. Through verse 7.
First chapter. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Beautiful you are. Your eyes are doves behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats moving down the slopes of Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn ewes that have just come up from the washing. All of them bear twins. Not one of them is bereaved. Your lips are like a scarlet thread, and your mouth is lovely. Your cheeks are like the halves of a pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built for an arsenal, whereon hang a thousand bucklers. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle that feed among the lilies. Until the day breathes and the shadows flee, I will hie me to the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. You are fair, my love, and there is no flaw in you.
I'm sorry, but we have a rival version that that wishes to be accepted as being far superior to that.
Than gazelles and fawns?
And it even has a title over it. This version lacks a title. And this title is Solomon in all his glory was not uncovered like one of these. Behold, you are bald, my love. Behold, you are bald. Your pate reflects like a mirror. Your hair is like a herd of goats who have run away. Your head is like a flock of sheep that have been shorn, fresh from the clipping. Every one of them bears skin, and not a one is covered among them. Your temples are smooth like a watermelon. Your forehead round as a honeydew. Until the day break and the shadows flee, I will hie me to your dome of smoothness and rush to your ivory knob. Behold, you are bald, my love. Behold, you are bald, and there is not a hair on you.
All right, now we have two versions. And all those who are in favor of getting rid of this one and putting the new one in.
Bald people have been just, I mean...
Bald people have been discriminated against for a long time, I guess, right? All those in favor of replacing the bald, I mean the rather...
How about both?
You want to have both? You want to have both? The sexy one and the bald one?
Version A and version B.
You want both in there?
There's precedence for that.
We'll put in a footnote.
It says other authorities also read.
All right, all those in favor of the bald version. All in favor of having the bald version included in the text. All those against the bald version. Okay, all right. The hairy blokes over there, Esau. Okay, anything else from the Psalms or the books of wisdom, Job? That anybody has.
Don't we need some mantras in there someplace?
Some mantras.
Do you have
you
some?
Got a mantra?
No, I don't, but I just think it's
not. We could certainly have some mantras. We would certainly add them either to the Psalms or wherever. Okay? You've got something. Right.
Well, I've dug through the archives and the files in the basement of the hotel. I found that Warner Jansen volunteer staff application test.
This is for profits, tests for profits.
Well, this is for volunteer staff at Holden back in the 60s and 70s to see whether they qualified to come or not, but I'm not sure where it belongs.
It's a vocation, it's a ministry.
This might be.
Well, it sounds there's no test
for or it could be Jeremiah.
Could be Pauline. Yeah, let's see. Could be prophetic. Let's hear it, and we'll decide.
We'll decide.
Of course. Well,
sure, the council.
We are in this.
It's a number of true and false questions.
I see. How many?
About 16 or so.
I see. We'll tell you when to stop.
Number one. I salivate at the sight of mittens. Number two. Some people never look at me. Number three. Spinach makes me feel alone. next one. When I look down from a high spot, I want to spit. next one. Cousins are not to be trusted.
Oh.
It makes me embarrassed to fall down. I think most people would cry to gain a point. I become homicidal when people try to reason with me. I am never startled by a fish. I have never gone to pieces over the weekend. I think beavers work too hard. I use shoe polish to excess. I have always been disturbed by the size of Lincoln's ears. Most of the time I go to sleep without saying goodbye. I I am not afraid of picking up doorknobs. I believe I smell as good as most people. I would never tell my nickname in a crisis. A wide necktie is a sign of disease. As a child, I was deprived of licorice. I would never shake hands with a gardener. And the last one, my eyes are always cold.
Oh, that's a mixture. I think this belongs in Jeremiah.
Yeah, yeah. We
among
think
those, you know, lamentations.
The laments of Jeremiah. I think they're really old laments of Jeremiah.
It sounds to me like qualifications for a prophethood.
Yeah, well, that's
psychological test.
Psychological test for a prophethood. Now,
I thought it was maybe Jesus' test for discipleship.
Well, certainly Ezekiel was in that. It was probably a test for Ezekiel. I would put it as pre-Ezekiel.
Pre-Ezekiel.
I think it's prophetic. I think it belongs in the test for the prophet, somewhere in the book.
Is it not Amos' challenge to the false court prophets?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But they couldn't get 10 of the 16 right.
Right. There you go. All right. I buy that. We put it in Amos as a test for the false prophets. Yeah. All right. False prophet test.
All those in favor.
All those in favor of the false prophet test. All right, again.
Any opposed?
All right.
This
very
one
good.
Carries.
Very good. Very good.
Boy, we've been just adding
right.
Leaps and bounds here.
Some people may have to go, so it's five to 10. I hope they don't have to go until we finish the canon. any more for the Old Testament that anybody has? Yes, yes.
I have somebody from the prophets.
Very good.
All right.
Very good. We'll listen.
Now, this, this is actually, we get to the text, we have to talk about the origin of the text and its authenticity.
How long will this take?
4 or 5 minutes. But a good part of this edition, we have to give credit to the Reverend Richard Jake, who was on the volunteer staff up here for about 4 or 5 months. Some of you remember him. He's now serving a parish in Vancouver, Washington. Dateline Chelan, Washington. Ancient scrolls were discovered in a cave near Chelan, Washington last week by two teenagers from Holden Village. Scholars who have examined the scrolls have determined them to be written in ancient Bulgaritic, a language known to have existed at the time of Israel's exile in Babylon. The Reverend Dr. Norman Havel?
Whatever the text says.
The Reverend Dr. Norman Havel, a visiting Old Testament scholar from Australia, examined the text, and after receiving the results, carbon 14 test by pathologist Rudy Edmund has confirmed their authenticity, dating them around 550 BC, thus making their author a contemporary of Isaiah. He immediately named them Codex Bulgaritic Holdeneticus. The two teenagers who found the scrolls, Sylvester Buddy Svetsted and Bernard Buzz Kirkeschmidt, did not realize at the time the significance of what they had found. We went into this cave because Buzz had to go to the bathroom. Said, and we stumbled across these jars full of old paper. At first we thought it was the D.B. Cooper money, said Buzz, but then it had all this funny old lettering on it, on paper that looked really old, and that's what made us think we had found something religious. And we took it to somebody in the village that looked religious. That's why we went to Dr. Hobbs. Boys asked no compensation for their fine, but did ask that they receive 200 hours credit in community service toward a substance abuse conviction they received on stage. Not all authorities were universal in their acclaim of the findings, however. George O'Brien, the Chelan County Sheriff, said, "Those scrolls are no more Bulgaritic than my shorts are Calvin Klein." Those liberals up at Holden Village are always trying some publicity stunt to give credibility to all their pinko ideas. We're always finding their socialistic literature mixed in with what their garbologists trash man, really, called combustibles. They probably stole these scrolls out of the back room of some museum and planted them in the cave. It's just another attempt to make themselves believable. Now, while some of the scrolls consist of recipes for meatless dishes that combine eggplant, dandelions, and spoiled goat cheese, and give directions for what to do with sheets after you have stripped the bed, other scrolls speak of a mysterious rider who will come into town and save the people. This is a quote. And in the latter days there shall come from Mount Carmel a pale rider whose jaw is set like flint. He shall not speak, but his eyes shall squint. He will view the battle at a distance from the fray. Then with his 44 Magnum, end it all by saying, go ahead, make my day. In a classic demonstration of doing theology from the bottom up, the people from St. Olaf Lutheran Church in Austin, Minnesota have seized upon this ancient passage and believe that this is a prophecy that directs them to call Clint Eastwood to be their new pastor. The people of St. Olaf are losing their current pastor, Reverend Glenn Nicolmo, who was just elected bishop of the Southeast Minnesota Synod of the LCA. Convinced of the authenticity of the scrawl and her understanding of its meaning and application, St. Olaf member Myrtle Tollefson, who was confirmed at First Lutheran Church in Lake Wobegon, moved to Austin when she married her husband, whom she met at Lutheran League camp, said, now I know God is sending us a pastor who will finally straighten out all those nags who go on and on at the annual meeting about snow removal from the church parking lot. And I can't wait to have him come to our ladies' meetings and tell Gladys Ingebrigtsen to shut up when she goes on and on about all the prizes she won at the county fair for her jams and jellies. One look from Pastor Clinton, they will shut up, I'll tell you. Dr. Hubble had no comment about the way in which the people of Austin, Minnesota were doing liberation theology. He did say, however, that in order to understand the impact of the scrolls, he had to redouble his research efforts. Last seen, he was in the Holden Reference Library reading the latest book by Tammy Faye Baker. While the scrolls are being examined further, they are being stored in the warmest, driest place in the village, Wes Preeb's popcorn machine.
That's a narrative text. All those in favor of including it in the narrative text of the Bible.
I bet you know the Apocrypha.
Apocrypha.
Well, that's authentic prophecy.
Real prophecy. Narrative prophecy.
I think it's a New Testament.
You do. There's always somebody that doesn't move things along. You think it's a New Testament parable. All right, well, who is Clint Eastwood in the parable? It suddenly means that we've had a bias for a long time against people with squints. I understand that.
This is Ingebrigtsen.
Well,
if it's that allegorical, then it belongs all the way up in Revelation.
Yeah, it's in Revelation. I think it belongs in Revelation. Yeah. All those in favor of putting it in Revelation?
Prophets.
You want to put in the prophets. All right, we've got a division of the house.
See, I would like to bring a compromise solution. Daniel is considered by some to be a prophet and by some to be apocryphal. And why don't we make it one of Daniel's dreams?
See, I don't think it's that canonical. I think it should be Fourth Enoch.
I think we have a problem. We need another committee. We need a committee on this one.
I could not figure out the interpolation of the 44 Magnum.
44 Magnum. Is the 44 Magnum, is that a gun or a bottle of champagne?
that's
required interpretation,
gun.
Right?
That's a big gun. 44.
Okay.
Is it anything like 44 elders or something?
All right. Well, I think we're going to take this one back to the committee. Committee.
Well, have we accepted as being authentic?
All those in favor of accepting it as authentic.
Uh-oh.
All right. Research.
You can't even vote.
All right, Dr. Howell, still not out of the library yet.
Okay. So the final word remains.
Final one remains to be decided.
Okay. Between Dr. Howell and Tammy Faye.
Right. I'll call
it. Expect a report.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. Any other contributions for the Old Testament before we move on to the New Testament or Inner Testament?
We call them Hebrew scriptures now.
Hebrew scriptures. All right.
There's one little known fact about Solomon, how he made his first million. He made his first million on condom vending machines.
Uh-huh. I see. Is this our old tradition, or have you got...
He obviously never tested any of his products.
We've got to keep this clean. We'll keep this clean.
Keep it safe.
All right, let's move on.
The text really is condominium.
Right. No more. Let's move on.
Doesn't this even get a vote?
Well, I don't know. If you want to vote on things like that.
Well, sounds like an interesting editorial addition to Kings.
I think it's some.
Yeah. No, it would be an addition to Kings. That's true. It would be an addition to Kings. In the harem tradition.
Of course, he didn't say his first million bucks.
No, that's all right. All those in favor of wanting a putting a footnote about Solomon's whatever. In Kings. All in favor? Those against? People are not voting.
A lot of people not voting. No,
all right. I think that one passed by a squeaker.
Yeah, well,
right. any more additions to the Old Testament? Okay.
How about Christian?
New Testament.
New Testament.
Can I bring one before I have to leave?
Sure, is it New Testament?
It's the New Testament.
Okay, New Testament.
Something that's always bothered me about Matthew 16. Jesus comes down from into Caesarea Philippi, and he asks the disciples to say, "Who am I?" And they answer, and then he replies at the end, "Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one about what they had said." And it always struck me that what's been put in there is obviously an interpolation. And I researched this in the Greek and discovered it was in Aramaic, and that's probably why the editor couldn't read it and put it in. But the original reads, "Who do men," and it was men, "say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the eschatological manifestation of all being." And Jesus said, "What?" He strictly charged the disciples to tell no one.
Against? Very good.
It's after 10.
Definitely carries.
Well, time has just about run out, I think.
Yeah, those who have to leave can leave.
There is one text that Leo Bustet wanted me to say. There's an addition. There is the story about when Jesus turned the water into wine. And he said that there is a little text that was omitted from it. It was the next morning. And Joseph had a hangover. And Joseph came to Mary and he said, "Mary, would you please get me a glass of water? But for crying out loud, don't let the kid touch it." All those in favor of the individual?
I do have one more that was delivered anonymously. Are we accepting anonymous deliveries?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Of course.
We are. Well, this needs a female reader and a male reader and Jesus. So, can I have a female? We need a female reader here. We can't do this.
How is it?
Can you come over here so we can all sit together?
Okay.
In the light. You want to be one of the readers? Yeah, okay. You want to be Jesus?
Of course.
You be Jesus.
Okay. This is omitted from the pre-ascension text. We don't know who it's by.
Yeah, it only goes up to there.
It only goes up to Phineas. Okay, all right. Now, remember, we have not seen this text before.
It's brand new.
Brand new, cold, and we don't know whether it's funny or not. It might be naughty. Hello, hello, I'm trying for interstellar directory assistance.
We're trying to get them. There's
minor.
There's a minor galactic disturbance.
Please keep trying. I'm on a short schedule.
Interstellar directory assistance. Your galactic calling card number, please.
I'm number one.
Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, Jesus. Oh, well, so what can I do for you?
Well, I'd like the interstellar Bethlehem Inn in the next planet I'm supposed to visit. I think it's one of the moons of Saturn.
Yes, sir. I'll connect you direct.
Interstellar Bethlehem.
Inn.
Saturn ring.
I'm checking on reservations for December 24th and 25th for me and two adults.
I have your reservation before me on the Gallister computer. All seem in order.
Well, I will you please check in carefully. 33 years ago, we had all kinds of trouble with our reservations at your family. Thank you. All in favor of the addition? Again? Okay.
Carries.
Any more additions to the New Testament?
I got one here.
One over here? Okay.
This is really a contribution from my son, who is not here since he's been sent to bed already. So he asked me to present it to you.
Right. Yeah, okay. Minor version.
This is a further teaching of Jesus. One day, Jesus was preaching to a small crowd. He asked them, "There was once a donkey who crossed the road. Does anyone know why the donkey crossed the road?" "To get to greener grass," was the most common reply. But Jesus said, "No. The reason he crossed the road was to follow his master."
Oh.
Ooh, that's a
heavy. Heavy. All in favor of this heavy one?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's a good heavy one.
Good heavy one. Good heavy.
That one
gets carries.
All right. Any others? Yes. Oh, we've got a batch of new
things. Oh, coming now.
This one, I was out walking. I was here for a few days, and I've noticed quite a few rituals that go on around here. I thought maybe they just sort of evolved out of life here. But walking out by the tailing pile, I found an old scroll off there.
Mm-hmm.
And since reading, I didn't really move it. I just copied down what was there and thought I needed to share. And I found out that most of life here, in fact, is spiritually inspired. The writing read Sermon on the Tailings. "Blessed are you who are poor, who labor long and hard and remain poor, for you shall be called fat. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst with empty platters held in uplifted hands, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who stand idle. Blessed are you who stand idle and crowded together with patience and long suffering. You shall receive popcorn and ice cream. Blessed are you who are weary with tired bodies and strained minds, for you shall inherit the jacuzzi. Blessed are you who have spent long hours on boat and bus, for yours is the village of Holden. And blessed are you who have answered many questions and given long explanations on account of your vacation. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in Holden."
Consensus vote.
Right. Sermon on the Tailings, all in favor. That's pretty good. Consensus. Very good.
All right.
Okay. New Testament. There's some more over here. Yes, right.
Now, this is from my son, who is in minors and is in a sauna party right now.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is Luke 2:20 and a half. Okay. There's not very many stories about Jesus in the Bible. And, you know, as a young boy. So this is one that really needs to be in there because I need to understand he's just like any other boy.
Is that a fact?
The boy Jesus was now 8 years old. As a boy, it was his job to find good, strong trees for his earthly father's shop. One day, as he was strolling through the woods, he came across a small path on the hillside, and as he stepped too close to the edge, he hit a patch of loose gravel and fell, landing on his arm. He cried not, but got up and went home. Mary, his mother, made a big fuss and took him to the clinic. There they learned that he had broken an arm.
And it ends. See, that, I think that abrupt ending gives it a real flavor of authenticity. It's like, and they were very afraid.
Right. The same
they were
the
so
end.
Afraid.
You know, yeah, this is Evergreen to Yar.
Evergreen to Yar is at the end of it, Mark. Exactly the same sort of style. Right? The blunt makes you stop and think.
Not, but he's saying it's in Luke, not Mark.
It's in Luke, not Mark.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yes, okay. Well, anybody, all those in favor of including it in Luke? All right, those against? Well, the boy's got his story in. Right. Okay, fine. And no testament anymore. Yes, sir.
I have this. I'll give you the original version from Luke. This is chapter 8, 32. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding. We're big on pigs today. I didn't write mine down, by the way, because I'm so sure you're going to turn it down. It was feeding on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these, so he gave them meat. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine. The herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Well, there was a recent archaeological dig around this, a lot of digs here too. And we thought we had come across the shroud of Stehekin. In fact, it ended up to be George Malinsky's bowling towel. Found that actually this is not incorrect, but simply incomplete. Actually, this was an example of Christ's first stewardship drive, and there were 50 swine involved, all females, and instead of being driven into a lake, they were driven into a herd of male deer, and he had a 1,000. He had 100 sows and bucks.
That's a grown-up.
That's why I didn't write it down.
Yeah. All those in favor?
Yeah.
All those